All right, guys. Well, welcome. Welcome once again to our humble house. Like I said, I keep looking at it, and it's a small church for me, dude. I look at you guys, and when I was sitting out there at the beach today, and you guys were doing the game, which, by the way, did we enjoy the day today, too? Yeah, right? Yeah. That was a great time, right? Remember that forecast? That forecast that we were supposed to have, like it was going to be raining all weekend long? Hasn't the Lord been great, dude?
Yes. Thank you.
I mean, when we left home, Cynthia kind of gave me that forecast, and I looked at it, and I was like, well, I guess we're going to be doing a lot of indoor stuff. But it looks like we've done a little bit more outdoor stuff and actually sacrificed the food part just to have some fun. And when you guys were playing that game with the sponge thing, I looked around, and some of you guys have actually grown up in front of me. And I don't need to know who's who, but, you know, and I look at you guys now, and you can see the physical aspect of it in growth, and you can also see the Lord, the spiritual growth as well. And if there's one thing that I can tell you guys today is that I want to encourage you guys to keep in that same walk. That I don't have any children of my own, but if there's one thing that can break a parent's heart, it's when a child detours. Mm-hmm. And it can bring many nights of despair and many nights of sorrow to the parent. Not counting the destruction that you'll bring to your own life. So again, guys, I want to encourage you that if you guys do keep your eyes on that prize, keep your eyes on that prize. And we always comment on the walk for a Christian walk is not a sprint. That we always comment to it as being as a marathon. And there's one thing that I remember when I ran my 10K, it was always finish strong. It doesn't matter how you guys start out. It doesn't matter. It's the way you finish. And finish strong. But please remember that, dude. All right? And always ask the Lord for strength. If you guys can please stand up and join me in prayer. Father, I come before you again with a humble heart, seeking wisdom, Lord, and knowing that you are the only one that possesses it, Lord. Asking you, Father, to fill my cup,
yes, Lord,
that I may choose my words correctly,
yes,
and not have any fear in me, because knowing that you will fill me and be able to deliver the words that you want me to speak, Lord.
Yes.
I ask you, Father, that you prepare each and one of the folks in here, that their heart may be completely humbled,
yes,
and ready for your word, Lord.
Yes.
That it may be something permanent,
yes,
and not rather something that is just on a temporary basis, Father.
Yes.
I ask you, Lord, to give me those words, not as trickery, Father, not to fool anyone, because you know our hearts. But to be able to deliver your word, and I speak for Gabe, and I speak for Adriana, Adam, Cynthia, for the leaders of the church, that may be able to reach others, not for our own glory, not for our own merit, and not so you guys look up on us, but rather for you guys to look up on the one that abides in us, Lord. Father, give us the understanding to be able to interpret your word correctly and to deliver it to these young ones, Lord. I ask for each and one of these babies, Lord, that you may keep them, that you may guard them, that you may instruct them, Lord, and that when they do grow up, they do choose, like Josue, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know about you guys, but as far as my house goes, we've decided to follow the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Amen. In your son's name I pray.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Lord, hallowed be your name. We humble ourselves under your Spirit tonight in this room. We say that all glory, all worship, all fame, all riches, all honor be unto you and unto the Lamb who was slain. Lord, we need you tonight. Work in our hearts. Change lives. Do what only you can do. We pray these things in the name of Christ for your glory and according to your will. Amen. It's hard. I really won't even say anything after that. It's so refreshing, though, to me to hear y'all sing, to hear young men and women to just sing the praises of Christ. And so y'all are such a blessing to me. So I'm just honored to be here with y'all. We're going to be back in Romans chapter 12, just like I told you guys earlier, or last night. I want to start out with some very sad news, that tonight is our last night together. Collective, everybody, I know, this is our last night together. The retreat is almost over, and here's the thing about when the retreat ends, okay? We drive home tomorrow, Monday rolls around, Tuesday rolls around, and guess what? Adam won't be in your room when you wake up playing songs for you for your morning devotion. Y'all know that? Adam's not going to be there. And I actually won't be there either. I'll probably be at home with my wife and kids. I won't be in your room when you wake up on Monday. Doing devotions with you guys. So, this is our last night together. And it's funny how we come to retreats like this and, we're like, man, Gabe, I just want to come and hang out. You know, there's a cute girl here and I just want to kind of hang out and go out to the beach and do some cool things and all that type of stuff. But, man, Gabe, you're laying it on pretty thick last night telling us, man, in order to worship, we have to like die to ourselves. Like that's a little bit heavy, man. You know, it's like, come on, you know, we need to kind of lighten it up a little bit. You guys came here, for one reason or another. But all of us share the same exact purpose of why we exist. And we set that up last night. We exist for the worship of God to his glory. And what do we receive because of that worship? We receive good. We receive joy in that. And Paul taught us last night that the Christian life is a life of worship. It's a life of dying to ourselves. How do we worship? We die to ourselves. We throw ourselves on the altar of God and we say, God, whatever. Dominion is yours. I'm yours. I exist for you. But the question a lot of times with a lot of us as Christians is, what about when the retreat ends, right? Because right now, that's, you know, we can think of these things and we can hang and we understand. We're like, yeah, I'm going to die to myself today. I'm going to make sure I watch, you know, watch my eyes, watch. And I want to, you know, meditate on pure things. And I want to, you know, do what's right. All this type of thing. We're at the retreat. What happens 2 weeks from now, Gabe? You know, it's like, what does Paul have for me for that? You know, something tangible, something I can grab a hold of. What can I do to continue? And I love what you say, man. It's so funny because you and I think so much alike and we don't even talk about these things when you preside. But how do I continue, like what Carl is saying, how do I continue and pursue and press forward as a Christian? Because as a Christian in this room, that is the deep seat of your hearts. To come to a place where you constantly, moment by moment, prize Jesus Christ above everything else. Paul, how do we do it? Dying to ourselves, that can be a little ambiguous sometimes, and I may even forget that 2 weeks from now. Give me something I can sink my teeth into, Paul. Right? That's what we're all saying. Well, I'm glad you're asking that question. Romans chapter 12. verse 2. And that's where we're going to pick up tonight. And this is where we're going to kind of finish up with this weekend. And so, last night, Romans 12:1, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Because of the gospel, we reach forward to worship. We worship because of the gospel. But it's this picture of fully giving ourselves at the altar of Christ. It's not holding on to Christ and then reaching for something else in this world. It's this full on devotion and submission to the person of Christ for His glory and for our good, okay? But we're saying, Paul, give me something to grab a hold of when it's 2 weeks from now and all the sand is finally out of my toes and all this type of stuff and I'm getting back to normal life, right? Give me something I can hang on to. Look at verse 2, and this is where we're going to camp out for tonight. How do we give me something tangible, Paul? Something we can grab a hold of and just squeeze with our hands and our minds and our hearts. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. First, Paul gives us a do not, and then he gives us a positive of what to do. Okay, so very first thing, he says, do not be conformed to this world. I looked up the definition of conform. It's pretty simple. It's behaving according to socially acceptable standards. It's to be shaped by and made a promoter of these ideals. So what Paul is saying is, don't conform to the natural thought, okay? Don't conform to what is the norm, okay? He's basically calling us out. He's like, if you want to worship, you want to live a life of worship to God, of purity, of holiness, of righteousness, we are called out once. He says, don't be conform. The analogy here is like a piece of steel, okay? Where I work, we have a steel factory right down the street from us. And they take these large, just enormous chunks of steel, and they put it through a furnace, okay? The furnace heats it up, and then it goes through a machine that squeezes it and presses it into a conformed shape that the machine is programmed to do. That's what the analogy is. It's sticking our lives into the furnace of the world, and being shaped and molded by what the cultural norm is. And for some of y'all, here's the funny first application. It's not really funny. It's kind of something we need to struggle with. For some of you guys, you have no taste for the things of God. No taste for the Word of God. No desire for the righteousness of God. This world seems so satisfying to you. Money, sex, power, prestige, all the toys, cars, fame. All these things seem so good to you, and you drink of it, and you try and quench the thirst in your soul, and it does nothing, and you wonder why. The question is, why do we always do that? Because maybe for some of you, you have conformed to the cultural norms of this world. You've conformed. You've been pressed by this world, and you're starting, you may not even know it, you're starting to fit in with the world. There's no difference. There is no difference in your life. You can put your life up against someone else who, you know, they may be a moral person. They may be a God hater and put them up right next to you. They may be a God hater but a moral person, and there's no difference. For some of you guys in this room, you have conformed. Now, Paul gives a little bit more detail. He says, don't conform to what? Do not conform to the world. Some of the different to this world is translated in some versions a little bit different. Some of them say the pattern of the world. Some of them say the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age. Well, what is that game? What does that mean to be conformed to the spirit of the age? It's the governing laws and ideals that set the tone and the pace of culture. Okay? It's the governing laws and ideals that set the pace and the movement of culture. Okay? And here's the thing of the spirit of the age. It's always dominated by Satan. Satan is the one who controls the movements and the ideas and what's popular in this world. And the question is, Christian, are you going to be stuck into this furnace, and are you going to conform? Whether it's in relationships, whether it's how you use your money, whether it's what you value and prize most, whether it's sexually, whether it's just with with keeping up with the Joneses, whatever it might be, are you being pressed by this world to be conformed to the cultural norms? Well, let's put some ideas on that so we understand what exactly, what is the spirit of the age now? In your schools, where I work, where we go and get gas at Walmart, what is the spirit of the age? I'm going to give you all four of them, okay? If you want to write them down, you can. The very first one is the spirit of tolerance. Tolerance. We are taught to tolerate everything, and if you are intolerant, then you will not be tolerated, right? We are taught to be tolerant of everything. There is no black and white. What's good for you might be fine. It may be different for me, but you know what? Let's agree to disagree. There is no truth. We tolerate everything. Psalm 119, 160 says this, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Let me tell you something. The spirit of the age says there is no truth. It says you do what you want to do. But we as Christians, we believe and know otherwise, that there is a truth. Listen to A.W. Tozer. This guy is dead, but if you love to read Pursuit of God, find that book, Pursuit of God. It's by A.W. Tozer. Incredible. Listen to this. He says, "A new decalogue has been adopted by the neo-Christians of our day. Thou shalt not disagree. And a new set of beatitudes, too. Blessed are they that tolerate everything." We tolerate everything. "For they shall not be made accountable for anything." Okay? We tolerate everything. You're not accountable for anything. "A man may believe what he pleases, provided he does not believe anything strongly enough to risk his life on it and fight for it." Tolerance is the great word. And I will be the first one to acknowledge, because I graduated high school in 2000. When I was in high school, this was the emerging thought, and it is plaguing your age group today. Tolerance. There is no truth. Believe what you want. That's number one, spirit of the age, okay? Number two, it's kind of a big fancy word. This one's called pragmatism, okay? It's kind of a big awkward word. You don't hear it much. Proverbs 16, verse 25. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Pragmatism is this: if it works, it must be right. If it's successful, it must be right. Anything in the world, if you can be considered successful, if you can make a dollar by doing it, then it's fine. Do what you want to do. Pragmatism. Listen to this quote by C.S. Lewis. "I believe that there are too many accommodating preachers and too many practitioners in the church who are not believers. Jesus Christ did not say, 'Go into all the world and tell the world that it is quite right.' The gospel is something completely different. In fact, it is directly opposed to the world." Pragmatism. If it works for you, then that's your deal, man. That's another spirit of the age. Number three, lawlessness. Psalm 119, 139. "My zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words." A lot of these link together. Lawlessness. What is it? We see it in school all the time. There's no rule. I don't care what the authority, I don't care what my teachers say. I'm just going to do what I want, right? That's the spirit of the age. Y'all, everybody have one of those guys in your class? Yeah? He just mouths off whenever he wants to, says whatever he does whatever he wants to do in the hallway. Yeah, some of y'all are smiling because you know who he is. You might be him. I don't know. But lawlessness. We see that it's so obvious. It's all around us. Lawlessness. It's the cool thing to break the rules. Lawlessness. It's the spirit of the age. Paul is calling us, do not, Christian, do not conform to this. If you want to bring worship to God, you don't conform. Last one, humanism. John 2, verse 17, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." That's John 2, 17. Humanism is this, that man is the center of the universe. And we don't need to think long to where we see that. Flip on the TV, watch some kind of program, some kind of reality TV show, and watch humanism just come to life in front of you. We are the center of the universe. We are most important. There is no God, and we are not under a higher authority. Humanism, it's the spirit of the age. Paul calls us to beware and to not conform to those things. And when we do, when we are pressed in the furnace of the world by these things, we end up looking exactly like everyone else. And what's the result? We bring no worship to God. And we will never be satisfied. Why? Because you're wearing a mask your entire life. That's the don't. Here's the do. This is the good stuff. He said, don't be conformed to the world, but do, here it comes, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Here we go. Y'all hang with me. I know we're getting tired. We had a long day. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the definition of transformed. A thorough and dramatic change in form, appearance, or character. Be transformed. A thorough and dramatic change in form, appearance, or character. It's a call to be shaped and changed in your life in a manner that brings glory and worship to God. The best analogy I can think of, and some of y'all may have heard of this before, but this is mind-blowing. Y'all listen to this. This is about butterflies. Anybody ever do any massive study on butterflies? We got any butterflyologists in here? No? Okay. All right. Caterpillars don't simply hide inside their chrysalis. That's the cocoon, okay? And after a few days, emerge with wings. What happens inside is that the caterpillar releases an enzyme that digests every tissue of the caterpillar. If you'll imagine it, it would be like melting ice, okay? Inside the caterpillar, there are called imaginal discs, which act as the transform agents when the metamorphosis starts. That's the transformation, the change. These imaginal discs transform into wings, legs, organs, and antennae of the butterfly. Listen to this. Here we go. During the first 4 days, the inside of the chrysalis is the remnants of the dissolved caterpillar. A caterpillar completely dissolves when it's in its cocoon. Literally, it's a liquid. It goes from a solid to a liquid. This is when this writer says the magic happens. We don't believe in magic. We believe in the sovereignty of God. The cells inside the chrysalis start growing and arranging themselves to form new tissues, innards of the caterpillar, digestive system, a new heart, nervous system, and literally everything. From a caterpillar to liquid, form to butterfly. Transformation. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the old man, the old woman being done away with, and the new man, the new woman coming to life. Be transformed. Be transformed. Okay, Gabe, it's very, very spiritual to sound. Be transformed. How? Here's where the rubber meets the road. Are you ready? Go hang with me. We're almost done. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says the key to living the life of worship is to not conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by being transformed by the renewing of your mind? How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. For you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, of the spirit, of the power, of the air, which is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too also formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, gratifying the cravings of the sinful flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ, for it is by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show forth his kindness toward us in Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, so that we may perform good works that God has prescribed beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at that time, you the Gentiles, who are called the uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is done by the hands of men in the flesh, remember that at that time, you were strangers, you were separate from Christ, you are excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, without God and having no hope in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn among all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the church, head of the body, the church, the firstborn from among the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased God that all the fullness would dwell in him, and through him he would reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Therefore, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be counted equal with God, but humbled himself in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything in heaven and on earth are yours. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only son, but delivered him over for us all, how would he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised and is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation or distress, peril, nakedness, sword, or famine? As it is written, for your sakes, we are constantly being put to death. We are led as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through by him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then I looked, and behold, a white horse, and him who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him which no one knows. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following after him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want to bring worship to God? You must renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You want something tangible? It's in your lap. You must know the Word of God. You must prize this book. And you must let it consume your thoughts. And watch your life transform from a caterpillar to a beautiful, worshipful, light beacon of God that brings worship to him. You want something tangible? You think all this Christianity stuff gets a little floaty? It's in your lap. So some of us in here, we wonder why we struggle and why we make no impact in our schools. We wonder why we have so many questionings in our lives. We wonder why we have issues with relationships, all these different things. My question to you is this: what has consumed and captured your mind? I just want y'all to listen to these. This isn't pointed at anybody in this room, but this is the general, these are general statistics about your generation. I want y'all to listen to these. (clears throat) 50% of social media users say they check into their favorite networks first thing in the morning. The number of smartphones shipments is expected to be almost 1 billion in 2015. 1 billion! That's a sixth, if I'm not mistaken, of the population of the earth. Maybe a little more. In one day on the internet, enough information is consumed to fill 168 million DVDs. 294 billion emails are sent. 2 million blog posts are written. 172 million people visit Facebook. 40 million people visit Twitter. 20 million visit Google. 17 million visit Pinterest. 4.7 billion minutes are spent on Facebook every day. 22 million hours of TV and movies are watched on Netflix. More iPhones are sold than people are born every day. Typically, more TVs in a home than people today. So if there's five people in a home, there's probably seven TVs. We spend about 3 hours a day texting. Some of us could be like, yeah, I spend a lot of time texting. We spend almost 2 hours on Facebook a day. Video games, cell phones, computers. Today's kids are working the equivalent of a full-time job consuming media 7 hours and 38 minutes every day on average. Listen to this. Only 54% of Protestant, that's what we are, believers of Christ in the Word, 54% of Protestant churchgoers read the Bible each week. 65% of adults who identified themselves as Bible readers have never read the entire New Testament. This is the last statistic I'm going to read. This one is it. Biblical literacy rates over 50 years' time have decreased from 75% to 5%. Church, it's so basic. But if you want to make a difference in this world, if you want to live a life of worship, if you want a healthy, worshipful marriage when you grow up, if you want to do finances the way God wants you to do them, if you want to live and exalt the person of Christ with every breath you take, in sickness and in health, riches or poor, alive or dead, you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I believe God sets these weekends up as a catalyst to shake us from our everyday slumber of Christianity and plugging along and coming to the retreats and doing the events and going on Wednesday nights, to draw us back to the simple but foundational principles of Jesus. And it's His Word. I want to put out a challenge deal as we kind of wrap up here. When I was your age, this challenge was given to me. And I'm glad that Cynthia and Carlos are in this room because I know they work a lot with you guys. And so if you take this challenge, I'm going to expect you all to stay with them on it. There are many of you in this room, this is resonating in your heart. You want this. You are just fired up. You're like, I want to live this life of worship. I want to renew my mind. 25 verses memorized before the end of this year. And there's nothing super spiritual about 25 verses or memorizing all these things. We're going to start renewing our mind. And I want you guys to see the change that happens. Not only outside in your circles of friends and in your family, but watch what happens in here. You guys are going to start loving each other so much. You're going to love each other so much, you're probably going to make everybody sick. Like, stop loving each other. Stop being so kind. Okay, just stop it, all right? You're going to be so generous with your resources and your time. You're going to turn away from conforming to the world. Maybe you're just in bondage to some certain thing. And the Word of God is going to take over you. And your whole life is going to be transformed. 25 verses memorized by December 31st of this year. And that's a challenge I'm throwing out. If that's you, and you say, this is what I need. This is the next step for me. I want you to stand. Because in standing, you're going to make yourself accountable to other people. Okay? You say, I'm a Christian. I want this. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want to renew my mind. And I want to move in this direction. If that's you, you say, I'm committing to this. This is what I want. If that's you, stand up. Don't feel pressured to do it because your friend's doing it. Let this be a burden on you. Many of you standing. The very first verse that I quoted in that segment, Psalm 119:103, it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You know, guys, you are setting yourself in a place to taste the sweetest and most enjoyable and most satisfying thing that God has given to us in a tangible form, and it's His Word. 119:103. Okay? So y'all take a good look at each other. See who's standing? Okay? And we're going to lovingly step into this. 25 verses. And we're going to watch. And then, the Spirit of God takes His Word and transforms you, not because it's some legalistic practice that does not work, but it's because we in our hearts are seeking for deeper intimacy with Christ. We love Christ. We prize Christ above all things. We want His mind for ourselves. And I see guys like Sammy, I'm glad you're here, man. I'm glad you're here because you're not too young to be raised up like a warrior. Josiah was king of Israel at 8, okay? So there you go. That's a story in itself. Y'all can sit down, okay? So what will happen? What would happen if we do this? If we together, as the body of Christ, would say, Lord, we have strayed from Your Word, and we long to renew our minds and to be transformed. What would happen? What would happen in your school? Certain conversations come up. God's going to give you wisdom according to His Word to use those conversations to speak the truth of the gospel to people. You're going to become a shining beacon of light in your circles at school. Some of you guys on your football team, your soccer team, academic club, chess club, knitting club, whatever clubs you're in. This is going to equip you. You are going to be so transformed that the only thing that's going to come out of your mouth and just going to spill over as an act of worship is the word of God. What about your family? What is this going to do in our families? As we root ourselves in the Word of God, our families are going to start to see a difference. We're going to start loving our siblings as we are called to love our siblings. We're going to start obeying our parents the way we are to obey our parents. What's this going to do in your relationships? For some of y'all, it may mean you need to break it off. You may be so consumed with the mind of Christ, you all of a sudden wake up, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, this is done. This is not right. This is not God's will. For some of y'all, your relationships might be a little out of whack. You might not be walking in holiness together, and this is going to set this can serve to set you in a place of walking in holiness and in righteousness with God. What's it going to mean for Georgia, the state of Georgia, this rippling effect? The practical returning to the Word of God. What does this mean? It means that we, the church, are going to grow and continue to progress and pursue Christ. And our light is going to shine in mission as we go out. We're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. And our only response is to take the bread of life to those who are starving. And to say, man, you've got to taste this. Mission. It's going to go to our state. It's going to go to our country and across the world. Where does it start? It starts by renewing your mind. Becoming a living sacrifice. And the result is a life of worship, glory to God, joy to us, and good for those who would come in contact. Let's pray together. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And God, we as your children, called out, redeemed by the blood of Christ, once far away, now drawn near by the blood of Christ. God, we repent. We repent, Lord. God, your word has been given to us, and the mind of Christ has been exposed to us through your word. And we have set it aside. And we have been consumed by other things. And God, we return to the purity of your word. And God, I ask for my brothers and sisters in this room, God, that you in your grace, Lord, in what is most glorious to you, in the outpouring of yourself, God, that you would reveal yourself to these, my friends, and God, that we would see our lives change. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things have become new. Transform our minds, Father. And as a result, God, may we be a shining light for the gospel. Glory to your name, Father. Can we sing this together? Let's just sing this together. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing. We exalt you, our Father. Lord, change our lives. We pray these things in the name of Christ. For his glory, for our good. Amen.
That was a little challenge there, huh? Oh, yeah. That was one of the ones I stood up to. So, December 31st, right? And I guess we're all going to be, like, held accountable for each other, I hope, you know? So, again, you know, you sit back, and it's been a while, dude. I'm being honest here that I haven't been paying attention to sermons from beginning to end. You know, I get caught up. And when we're in church, I get caught up doing so many things. And I've told Adrian before that I feel like Martha. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. But Martha, Jesus came over to their house and Martha was busy doing other stuff. And her sister Mary, if I'm not mistaken, kind of like, I'm going to go pay attention to Jesus. And she's like, dude, Jesus, why are you? Because she's doing what she needs to be doing. And I'm not doing. You know, I have a I have a coworker of mine. She's an older sister in Christ, and she kind of keeps me in check. And it goes back to what Gabe was saying. I am conforming to this world. And she told me that. He goes, Carlos, you've been changing. You're starting to look like them. And, you know, you try to, it's human, you try to justify it. Like, no, you know, I'm praying in the mornings. I'm reading my Bible. You know, I'm still going to church on Sundays. I still try to make it at least once a week to the meeting. And I always use Youth Point as my default. So like, no, dude, I go to Youth Point. So, I went back home that day and I realized I spent about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at the gym, and about 10 minutes with God. As much as I didn't want to hear those words from my sister, that kind of like brought it all to me. So that renewing of the mind, it's what Gabe said. It's right here. And who are we spending time with? That's what it boils down ultimately. So, here's a challenge. And it is sad that it is our last night, man. Because I don't know about you guys, I felt like a kid, dude. I felt like a kid from the minute I got, from the minute I saw the beach. And I was like, you know, put all of my stuff behind and seeing you guys out there bugging Sammy. He's like, how'd you get in here, man? You know? And looking all around, I didn't realize how hard our sisters, if we can give a round of applause to our sisters. It's been an amazing, you know, Adam asked me, he's like, what's one of the things that has been different with this retreat? And one of the first things that came around was like, dude, the fruit. It's like, it's been amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, not for nothing, Gabe, but dude, the Lord has used you in a great way, dude. You know, I look at you and I sit there in awe, you know, and I barely know this cat, dude, to be honest with you. I barely know him. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, we're all chummy or whatever, but the Lord created, you know, a certain bond. Mm-hmm. You never know, dude. We might butt heads, but it hasn't been the case. You know, and I was sitting back too, and I was like, thank God this man came, dude. You know, he was still on the fence. I was like, I'm not sure this and this and that. But, you know, he's the music leader, you know? Like, he kind of raises his voice, and, like, everybody raises mm-hmm. their voice. And the guitar.
You too. You're going to be doing that someday also.
So, again, sad, but happy, and a little scared also. Because when I do go back, what he was talking about, you get all fired up. But what happens, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or next week, man? I hope I don't lose that fire. Because I will start conforming to this world again. So I laid that burden upon the Lord and rely on Him. Because I know I can. And that's when I see His grace. And anything and everything that I can't do, He does. Alright? So, I don't think we have any more activities tonight. We're going to get chill, right? I don't know if we're doing the pool thing. Ma'am?
You know, He gave you a challenge. 25 verses. That's easy. That's super easy. I just don't be subtle with just that. Y'all go beyond. You go to the extreme with that. Because I don't think you guys realize how many verses our brother quoted? I wonder, did you guys know what he was doing? Did y'all kind of think, what is he talking about? Where is he going with this? You didn't realize he was completely quoting scriptures. He was going, and I hope that you guys were able to travel with him. He was going through John, Philippians, Ephesians, Romans, Psalms, Revelation. I don't know. I started getting lost somewhere. Yeah. There were so many. But he was quoting scriptures. And you want to be able to hear him and know that's not Gabe talking, that's God talking.
Amen.
And you need to, I'm not sure, did y'all know that those were scriptures completely, all of those? You probably thought he was
Yeah, first, I'll be honest with you, at first, but I'm like, no, this is straight, you know, the horse and the mouth, I'm like, oh my God, this guy, it's scriptural, yeah. So.
But you need to know that. And the way you know that is by you loving His Word with Amen. All your heart. So, go beyond the 25. Do the 25. And we're going to do that together. But you go.
Well, I'd like to change it all. I'd like to say, not 25 verses, 25 passages. Okay? Because that's what He was doing. Those weren't just little simple verses. He took everything in context. At least, I don't know how many passages you hit, but that was excellent. Passages. But I'll challenge you with one thing tonight. Don't leave this retreat without having written down exactly where you will start. One passage in the Scriptures. So you know what to do come Monday. Alright? And then you share that with everybody else and we'll go on to number two. Everybody here has an opportunity to look through the Bible and say, well, I'm going to see this passage. The first four or five verses of Ephesians. Or maybe maybe Romans 12 where we were tonight. I want to memorize those first two, three verses. That's a passage. Everybody choose a passage. Start there. I mean, it's not going to happen if we just talk about it. Write it down and begin.
Awesome. So, the challenge just got a little bit higher. So, I hope you stop right there, man, because I'm like, oh, let's make this Bible. So, 25 passages. Thank you, MVP. So, once you guys know, Gabe, you want to add something?
I'd like to ask if, like, when we start praying, I know there's, like, some of us in this room, we're going to go back to school and stuff, and I just graduated from high school. So, like, I know what's going on, like, the trends that are going on right now, and I just see it. And while he was talking, like, I kind of went back through the stages and saw, like, when I entered, how, like, I was being changed by the Lord, how, like, He blessed me with moving to Mountain View and being able to be, like, He's going to hate me, but be with this guy, and you're right here, because He's helped me, like, so much, you don't even know. And, I mean, He's, like, helped me, like, because I look at myself and I'm like, look what you're becoming. You're supposed to be a leader for your brothers, for, like, your peers around you, and you're calling to conform yourself to the world. And I just want to pray that, like, each one of us find, like, a way that we can, like, keep in check with, that we can, like, talk to them openly, because guys, I tried like challenging like stuff by myself, and I felt miserably. Like I ended up worse than how I started. So just don't try to handle it alone. We've got Adriana, we've got Carlos, Adam. They've been a blessing to us, and this retreat has like opened my eyes. And like Carlos, you said, I hope the fire doesn't die down. And let's all come on, like, actually do the challenge if we're going to commit to it, not just, like, forget it as soon as school starts and say we're too busy with sports, academics, you know, all of that stuff.
Thank you, Gabe. Yeah, that we spoke about that today, about being held accountable. You know, Gabe kind of mentioned that, as a matter of fact, we've always spoken about that, being that el cristiano solitario, that lone ranger Christian. It doesn't work. Thank you, Gabe. I appreciate that. All right. So, like I said, I think we're going to go chill, right? Yay? Nay? Oh, we're going to go eat. My God, dude. What have you been doing? I know. So, we're going to go eat, and then after that, I'm... Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess after that, we're going to go ahead and chill. So, and we'll probably gain about, what, 5, 10, 15 pounds by the time this retreat's over. And Andre and I were supposed to go run, but that's kind of like, you know what, forget about it. So, anyways, guys, again, if Adam, if you may, if you can please lead us in our prayer.
Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the way that you have blessed us in these few days together. I lift up Gabe before you today, Lord, that It's not him, and he knows, Lord, it's not himself. It is. We lift up Lord Christ in him. We thank you for bringing him to us. We thank you, Lord, that from the moments that you set him on our hearts, Lord, you've made the way possible, and you've opened the door for us to receive much from this vessel. And we glorify you, Lord God. We thank you. Bless him, Lord. Bless his family. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice he's made for us, that we might be also, Lord, willing to do the same for others, Lord. Lead us. Lead us to serve you faithfully. Thank you, Lord, for all that we've heard. Father, help us to truly treasure it in our hearts, to place your word as supreme in our lives. To not ignore, Lord, the challenge we've received. And not to only consider, Lord, that we're called now to memorize portions of Scripture. But, Father, to realize, Lord, that that your word, Lord, will never, ever end.
Yes.
All other things will come to an end.
Yes, sir.
And everything else that we treasure, Lord, will be destroyed.
Yes, sir.
But your word, Lord, is eternal, everlasting. All this in the world will pass.
Yes.
But your word will never pass.
That's right.
Help us, Lord, to treasure that. Place it first in our lives, Lord. Help everyone in this room, Lord, when they're challenged, Lord, to do something else in their life, taking away time from your word, Lord, that they would better reason and choose, Lord, the right thing to do. And that as we do that together, Lord God, we would see great changes in all our lives.
Yes.
And ultimately, Lord, end up coming to the same conclusion that we've been looking at here this week and together. And that is that God truly does deserve the glory.
That's right.
And we'll turn around to each other and say, well, who merits honor and favor in all this that's happening in our lives? And it'll be you, God. It will be your glory that we will be seeing among us. It will be your work. It will be your beauty. It will be your love. It will be your grace. It will be your mercy. It will be your righteousness, Lord. All the things that you place in our lives, Lord, they'll come from you. So bless us, Lord, today. Bless us tomorrow, Lord, as we return. We have a vehicle, Lord, that's acting up.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
Lord, you brought us here, Lord. You brought us within 10 miles of this place, Lord. Take us at least 10 miles from home, God. Let us arrive, Lord, in peace and health. And protect us, Lord, as we return. Protect every one of us, Lord God. And for anyone in this place, Lord God, that you've been speaking to, Lord, and their heart, Lord, has not been receiving. Father, there's still time for all of us. Let your heart pour deep on every heart, Lord. Let your words, Lord, saturate, Lord. Let it come upon us firmly and hard. As we're all, Lord, here hearing and receiving, Father, many of us still need, Lord, for this to take great root in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to do that. That tonight as we go to bed, Lord, we would truly pray individually, Lord, and say, God, look at our need. How are we, Lord, to proceed from this day forward and begin to lean on you for every moment in every direction? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we are challenged and we're calling upon you to help us.
Yes.
For you're the only one who can, Lord. Help us and lead us through this. In the name of Christ, we thank you for this, for the food that we're about to eat, for the fellowship, Lord, for tonight and tomorrow and all good things that you bring to our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.